This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at 104.3 KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. And we are celebrating Native American Day. It's known by a few different names, but and in a few different states. California and South Dakota have this is a holiday, a U.S. holiday. And also Tennessee observes a similar holiday called American Indian Day each year. And we just found out that Seattle, Washington changed Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day as a way of recognition and hopefully healing. So, with that in mind, I decided that I would find some stories by Indigenous people. I, with the help of some friends, I found a wonderful story called The White Squirrel, and it's an Aleutuk or Aleut story, told by Sperry Ash to some Kodiak students. The White Squirrel. There was one man. He was a good hunter. He could get all animals easily. He had no problem getting these animals. He could catch bears. He could catch seal. It was no problem for him to catch fish. That was easy. His wife would make fish soup, and his family ate really well. Another animal he was really good at hunting was the little squirrel. It was easy for him. One day, during the fall time, he went out to go hunt. He went to go get the squirrels in his traps. He went to where he left traps and get that animal, put it in his bag, and he'd walk around to his next trap. At one trap he came on, he saw a squirrel. Went. It was white. How come? Wow, this is neat. I'm going to take this home, he said. He was so proud and thought, maybe I'll have a nice hat. It will be the only white hat in the village. Everyone else had brown hats, but mine will be white. So he put the squirrel in his bag and he started to walk back home. While he was walking home, there was something moving in his bag, and he looked down and wondered, what's happening? And that squirrel poked his head out from the bag, and it jumped out and ran away. I can't let it go away from me, he thought, so he ran for that squirrel. He didn't want it to run away. But that little squirrel went into his little home in the ground. You know what that man did? He jumped in the hole also. That man went into the ground. When his eyes had adjusted to the darkness, he saw that he had gotten into the hole. He was inside the squirrel's hole, and there were lots of squirrels sitting in a circle with a fire in the middle. They were in a house. This is not an animal's house. This is like people's houses. That white squirrel was there, and he was out of breath, 'cause he had run away. When he was able to speak, he said, "That man over at the doorway, he saved my life. If he didn't take me from the trap, I would still be there, and I would die. But he saved me." The man stayed quiet. The white squirrel told the other squirrels, "That man saved me. We should be thankful to him. What should we do?" The white squirrel was the chief of the group, so they thought about it, and they said, "Well, it is fall time, and we saved all of this food during the summer. We have lots of food. Would you eat with us? That's how we'll pay you because we are so grateful. Thank you for taking him and saving our chief, our leader," he said. "Yeah, sure." He saw the food and got excited. And then they said, "You'll spend one night with us too, but let's eat first." So they ate and ate and ate. And when everyone was full, they said, "Let's go to bed. In the middle of the night, we have to wake you up and turn you on the other side." "Okay," he replied. So they went to bed, and in the middle of the night, they turned him on the other side, and he went back to sleep, saying, "Okay, thank you." Then, when he woke up in the morning, he looked around and saw that nobody was in the house. "What happened?" he said. "Where is everybody?" "All the squirrels left." "Well, I'm going home. I'm just going to go home." So he got up, left the house, and came up out of the ground and said, This is different. When I went into the house, things were dying and it was fall time, almost winter. But now, it looks like it's almost summer. The flowers are trying to come up, the berries are trying to grow, and it's warmer. It's not so cold anymore. What happened? He thought for a moment and said, "Ah, I'm going home." He started to walk on the beach and he saw two men in their kayaks. They were out in the water and he yelled, "Hey, you guys, come and get me. Take me back to home." And those guys in the boat, they heard something and one said, "Someone's calling us from somewhere. What is it?" That they tried to listen harder. "Hey, come get me," the hunter said. "I'm over here. I'm on the beach." One of the men in the kayak said, "Do you hear that? It sounds like squirrels, not a man. It sounds like an animal. Where is it?" "We'll shoot it. We'll get it and take it home." "Oh, it's on the beach. Not over there, here." "Oh, forget it. I'll get it myself." So he shot an arrow at that squirrel. The hunter said, "No, don't get me." But when he put his hands up, he saw fur on them. He saw nails, just like an animal. His hands were different. "What happened? What happened?" he yelled. He saw that the men in the kayak were trying to get him, so he ran away. As he ran, he realized that he had turned into a squirrel. What that man didn't understand is that when he spent one night with the squirrels, he spent all winter sleeping. So that is how that man turned into a squirrel. Can you see a man turning into a squirrel? They say it happened. That was Sperry Ashes, The White Squirrel. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at KTO 104.3. I'll be right back. Hello, this is Telling Tales with Ms. G, continuing on with our celebration of Native American and Indigenous Peoples Day. Next, I have stories from the Choctaws. Stories from my grandfather, the tale of the wind horse, is told by Tippi Pinty, by Jackie Talbot. Once upon a time, when day and night were still deciding who comes first, there lived a horse, the fastest and gentlest of all Indian ponies, called Wind Horse, and his kind will never be seen in the world again. The story begins this way. One day, when Wind Horse was feeling good from being free, he heard a cry for help. He ran to the edge of the forest and found a little boy who had gotten his foot caught in a bear trap. The child had managed to free himself but could not move, for the trap had crushed his foot. The boy, who had no name, could not believe such a beautiful horse would come to him as a friend. He gave thanks to the Great Spirit and prepared himself for death. Knowing the wound was fatal, Wind Horse bent to let the boy get on his back so he could take him to the sacred hunting ground where he would no longer know pain, fear, or need. The thought of one so young going to the sacred hunting ground made Wind Horse sad, but he did not want the boy to suffer. The boy clung to the Wind Horse's back, the pain in his foot forgotten. All his life he had lived alone, for his parents were dead and no one else wanted him. Riding Wind Horse, he felt whole, as though he had finally found a family. They rode through time out of mind, the trail shifting to reflect the boy's life. The boy saw himself caught in the bear trap alone and weeping. Then the scenery changed and he saw himself smiling and happy with his parents. Soon they traveled back to before the boy was born, and he didn't recognize anything. As his life passed by, the boy clutched Wind Horse tighter, frightened by what awaited them at their journey's end. Wind Horse was the last of a great race of horses who could share the feelings of their riders. He had never allowed anyone to ride him for too long, for once a bond was forged, it could not be broken. He knew that if he continued this run, he would never again be free. As they traveled, Wind Horse listened to the boy's hopes that someday he would run with the leaves that blew across the ground. He felt the boy's yearning for someone to love. Yet who could ever care for a nameless little boy with a bad leg? As he listened, love for the boy grew in his heart, and Wind Horse knew that this would be his last rider. He nuzzled the boy with affection and slowed down, for the end of their journey was near. The boy looked up and saw the home of those who had gone before. He realized that this journey was the last one he would ever make, and trembled with fear. But as Wind Horse finally stopped, the boy realized that all his wounds, hunger, need, and hurt were gone. And since Wind Horse made no move to leave, the boy knew that at last he had found the companion he had wished for all his life. As Wind Horse and the boy walked into their new world, the Choctaw felt great sadness. Even though they did not know what was happening, they felt the last Wind Horse pass from this world to the next and wept with grief. Wind Horse heard their cries of despair, but he had made his last journey. He knew that with the passing of many suns and moons, they would soon forget him and his race. He prayed to the Great Spirit to send a reminder of him to the Choctaw to comfort them. And that is how horses came to us as gifts from the Great Spirit and the last Wind Horse. That was stories from my grandfather, The Tale of the Wind Horse, as told by Tippy Pinty. Courtesy of Jackie Talbot from Choctaw Tales. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G, and I'll be right back. Please stay tuned. This is Ms. G bringing you Telling Tales here tonight, celebrating Native American and Indigenous Peoples Day. I have next a Haida story called a Haida Eagle story. The storyteller is Charlie Edenshaw, chief of the Stas, a prominent Maasai family of the Eagle Clan. At Lobtiguas, near Skidans, lived a chief and his sister, who had a son. This young man loved the chief's wife. When the chief discovered this, he became jealous and thought of killing his nephew. He sent his slaves to fetch gum. The slaves went and bought a canoe load of gum, which the chief boiled. Then he covered the board, which covers the bow of the canoe, with the gum. After this was done, he sent his slaves to shoot eagles, and he spread the down over the gum so as to make it invisible. After he had thus prepared his canoe, he called his nephew. His slaves went into his house to call him. He obeyed their summons and went to his uncle's house, who requested him to go out to sea hunting. The young man took his quiver, which contained two bows and many arrows. The young man asked his uncle, "What kind of a blanket shall I wear when I go hunting?" Then the chief gave him two marten blankets. He continued, "What kind of ear ornament shall I wear when I go hunting?" His uncle gave him ear ornaments made of caribou skin. When the weather was clear and calm, he started hunting seals. Before they started, the chief said to his slaves, "When he harpoons a seal, push him so that he will fall on the board in the bow of the canoe. He will stick to it, and then throw him overboard." They went out to sea, and when the young man was about to harpoon a seal, the slave pushed him so that he fell down on the board. He was unable to free himself because the gum was holding him. Then the slaves took the board, threw it overboard, and returned home. They said that the young man had fallen overboard and that they had been unable to save him. Then all the people were sad. The young man drifted about on the sea, and the wind drifted the board ashore near a town. He crawled up toward the houses, but when the sun was shining warmly, the gum softened, and he was able to free himself. He dried his blankets in the warm sunshine. Now he heard two women singing. Their voices were very beautiful. After a while, they approached him. They were very beautiful. They addressed him, saying, "We know that your uncle is jealous of you, and therefore he ordered his slaves to throw you into the sea. Accompany us to our father's country. It is not far from here. We will look after you." Then he accompanied them, and soon they arrived at a large town. One of the girls was the chief's daughter, while the other one was her slave. She was the daughter of the eagle. Now they entered the chief's house. He was offered a seat and was given to eat. The chief was glad to see him. The girl's mother, whose name was Ka'asana, was very old. She was quite bald. Early every morning, the eagles went out hunting whales. When they returned, they gave the whales to the old woman. One day, the youth desired to accompany the hunters. He said to his wife, "Tell your father that I wish to see how he hunts whales." The young woman told her father, who replied, "Here is an eagle skin. Give it to your husband." He put it on and flew out with the eagles. Before he started, the old woman warned him, saying, "Don't try to catch a clam. Its head looks just like that of a sea otter. A long time ago, one of our hunters tried to catch it, and it drowned him. For this reason, we are afraid of it." They went out to sea and saw many whales. The young man caught one. He did not find it difficult to lift it. The eagle skin which he had on was one the chief had used when he was a young man. For that reason, it made him very strong. In the evening, they returned, and he gave his whale to the old woman. He was so eager to go out again, wailing, that he was unable to sleep. Early next morning, he started and continued to catch whales. Thus he continued to do for many years. The old woman warned him frequently, saying, "Don't try to catch that small black animal whose head looks like that of a sea otter." One morning when he started, he thought, "Today I shall try to catch two whales, one in each hand." When he saw two whales, he swooped down and took one in each talon. He did not find them too heavy and carried them home. He gave them to the old woman. When he found that he was strong enough to lift two whales, he thought he would be able to conquer the animal of which the old woman had warned him. He started early in the morning, and as soon as he saw the clam, he swooped down on it and succeeded in lifting it. But soon he felt his strength leaving him, and he began to sink down lower and lower. Now the clam had dragged him down to the surface of the water. Then one of the eagles came to his assistance. He took hold of his wings and tried to pull him up, but in vain. The clam pulled him down. Another eagle came to their help, but they were unable to overcome the clam. All the whale hunters came to their assistance, but all of them were dragged down under the water. Now, only one of the eagles was left. He returned home and told the old woman what had happened. Then she said, "Nga, nga, nga." She sharpened her nails and put on her skin, which looked very old and ragged. Now she was an old eagle who had lost many feathers. She flew out to sea and sang, "Why did my son-in-law disobey me? Nga, nga, nga." When she came to the place where the clam had drowned the eagles, she saw the wings of one eagle only above the surface of the water. She took hold of them and tried to lift them. She was almost dragged under water. But gradually she began to rise. She tried three times. The fourth time she succeeded in raising the eagle. Again she sang, "Why did my son-in-law disobey me? Nga, nga, nga." Then she heard a noise underwater. Ox! Then she lifted all the eagles and took them back home. Now the young man resolved to take revenge on the people who had killed him. He put on his eagle skin and flew to his uncle's village. There he alighted on the top of a tree. When the people saw him, they attempted to shoot him because they were desirous of obtaining the eagle's feathers for winging their arrows. But they were unable to hit him. Now his uncle's son attempted to shoot him. At once he swooped down, grasped him, and carried him upward. One of the men of the village tried to hold the boy, but he also was lifted upwards. And thus he raised all the men of the village. He carried them out to sea and dropped them into the water, where they were drowned. The young man continued to live there for many years, but finally he became homesick. He did not laugh and stayed at home all the time. Then the old woman asked her daughter, "Why is your husband sad?" His wife replied, "He wishes to return to his uncle's village." Then the old woman gave him the skin of the bird Din. It has a red throat and is eaten by the whites. He put it on and flew back. The village was entirely deserted because he had killed all the people. Only his two younger sisters remained, who had been hiding at the time of his former visit. They were crying all the time. When they saw the bird, they made a noose of their own hair, and he allowed himself to be caught. That was the Haida Eagle story. Storyteller Charlie Edenshaw, chief of the Stuttas. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G. Hopefully you're enjoying the stories here tonight. I'll be right back. Stay tuned. Here at 104.3 KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. This is Ms. G. with Telling Tales here at 104.3 KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. And I hope you've been enjoying the stories tonight that I've chosen to celebrate Native American Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. I have another story that was recommended to me. It's a Haida legend, the Haida mother bear story. And we have enough time, I'd like to read it. Long ago, a group of girls of the tribe were out gathering huckleberries. One among them was a bit of a chatterbox, who should have been singing to tell the bears of her presence instead of laughing and talking. The bears, who could hear her, even though some distance away, wondered if she was mocking them in her babbling. By the time the berry picker started home, the bears were watching. As she followed at the end of the group, the girl's foot slipped in some bear dung, and her forehead strap, which held the pack filled with berries to her back, broke. She let out an angry laugh. The others went on. Again, she should have sung, but she only complained. The bears noted this and said, "Does she speak of us?" It was growing dark. Near her appeared two young men who looked like brothers. One said, "Come with us and we will help you with your berries." As the aristocratic young lady followed them, she saw that they wore bear robes. It was dark when they arrived at a large house near a rock slide high on the mountain slope. All the people inside, sitting around a small fire, were wearing bear skins also. Grandmother Mouse ran up to the girl and squeaked to her that she had been taken into the bear den and was to become one of them. The hair on her robe was already longer and more like a bear's. She was frightened. One of the young bears, the son of a chief, came up to her and said, "You will live if you become my wife. Otherwise, you will die." She lived on as the wife of the bear, tending the fire in the dark house. She noticed that whenever the bear people went outside, they put on their bear coats and became like the animal. In the winter, she was pregnant, and her husband took her to a cliff cave near the old home, where she gave birth to twins, who were half human and half bear. One day, her brothers came searching for her, and the bear wife knew she must reveal her presence. She rolled a snowball down the mountainside to draw their attention, and they climbed up the rock slide. The bear husband knew that he must die, but before he was killed by the women's brothers, he taught her and the bear sons the songs that the hunters must use over his dead body to ensure their good luck. He willed his skin to her father, who was a tribal chief. The young men then killed the bear, smoking him out of the cave and spearing him. They spared the two children, taking them with the bear wife back to her people. The bear's sons removed their bear coats and became great hunters. They guided their kinsmen to bear dens in the mountains and showed them how to set snares, and they instructed the people in singing the ritual songs. Many years later, when their mother died, they put on their coats again and went back to live with the bear people. But the tribe continued to have good fortune with their hunting. That's a Haida legend, the Haida mother bear story. And I barely have enough time, but I really wanted to read you this one wonderful poem I found by Nora Marks Dauenauer called The Storm. Like people emerging from a steam bath, bending over, steaming from their heads and shoulders, the ring of the mountains from the Chilkat Range to the Juneau ice field, as if in steam bath towels of snow flurries, at their feet are foaming white caps of sea like water thrown on rocks steaming from the heat. That's Nora Marks Dauenauer, The Storm, from Life Woven with Song. This has been Telling Tales with Ms. G, celebrating Native American Day and Indigenous Peoples Day with you. Until next time, good night.